Welcome to Your Q, an open invitation to come together, collaborate, and take action towards a more connected, informed, and thriving Douglas County. Your Q is all about celebrating, uplifting, and educating our community. Each week, we'll highlight the people, ideas, and organizations making a difference and invite you to join us in shaping the future of Douglas County. Brought to you by Roseburg Schools. And now, Your Q. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Q. It is great to have you here on a beautiful day in Douglas County. Tiffany, as always,
hi.
Great to see you.
See you as well. It is a beautiful day.
We've got a great guest here. We'll get to them in just a minute. Hang tight. I did want to start today with a conversation I had with one of our listeners, actually. I wanted to just maybe start off by having this conversation with this group today and all our listeners here. I was approached this week by somebody in our community who reached out expressing appreciation for the show. And what they had told me is they said they've been in a bit of a funk, they said. They listen to radio and they are pretty plugged into media. And they just said the overall vibe they've been getting is just one of almost like despair.
Yeah.
They actually said, he actually told me he was like a little bit depressed in general with just how things were kind of playing out in the world and the community. And he wanted to reach out and just say how much he appreciated hearing about things that are uplifting and we're celebrating. And educational. And I just want to say thank you for reaching out. And I think it's a really good inflection point as we think about what's happening on the show.
Yeah.
That we authentically are, we are so many ways that we can share the great work happening in our community in a super authentic way. And we're excited to do that again today. We've got a fantastic group of people here that are doing amazing things. In fact, I think these are all Roseburg High School grads with us today. And by the way, this is like a next level group in terms of like award winning group. And I'm hoping we get that today. Everybody in here is like top industry, state recognized, nationally recognized people in the studio. So
right? I don't even think we have time to go through all of
them. I know. They probably will, but we'll do that today. We're hoping to. And it's great today to be focusing on what's happening in our schools, particularly in our CTE, our career technical education spaces. Some of our viewers know this is vocational ed. Last episode, we talked about medical pathways, and we want to follow this up today on a lot of the other pathways that are happening that are so beneficial for our students and for our community.
And there's so many.
So many.
So we're so glad you guys are here.
Yes. We are. And so our viewers probably haven't had a chance to get to know each of you as well as we have. And again, thank you for being here. So what would be great is to just go around and introduce yourselves. And maybe what you can do is, you know, tell us something that you're excited about that you're doing in the spaces you're at and help our viewers get to know you a little better as we get started. So let's just start, Juniper, let's just start right with you.
Sure.
It's right to go right to our students.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Juniper Cocker. I am a senior at Roseburg High School, and I am in the FFA, which is a national organization based on agricultural education. Right now I'm doing a veterinary science class where Mrs. Powell is both my FFA advisor and my teacher for ag. And what I'm really excited about right now is right now I'm in the forestry. I'm competing for forestry at the state level next week. And so I'm really excited for that. We have a pretty good team ahead of us, so we're looking forward to that. And something else that I'm also really proud of is that I made first in state individual, and my team made first in state. So we will be going on to nationals in October. So I'm really proud of that as well. And so, yeah, that's what's going on with me.
Incredible.
That's in the CTE program. Yeah.
Amazing. So exciting. Yeah. And for our viewers that maybe don't know enough about FFA, can you talk to a little bit about vet science and animal husbandry a little bit, but can you talk a little bit about there's some breadth in FFA. It's kind of a wide pathway, right? So maybe
absolutely.
Help explain to the viewers a little bit, if they're not as familiar with FFA, the range it covers in terms of its focus.
Absolutely, yeah. FFA can range from anywhere from plant science to veterinary science. We have ag sales, leadership career, like leadership development events, career development events. So these are all career preparation and leadership skills that you're building throughout the way. So technically, it doesn't matter what you want to go into. You're going to be learning those soft skills that you're going to be wanting throughout any career in FFA. So that's why it's really important that we just tell kids, hey, get involved with this. We don't mind what you're going to be going into. This is something that you shouldn't be going into. Like, no matter what you're looking for. I specifically, it was really important for me for veterinary science, because I was already thinking of becoming a veterinarian. But I think, yeah, it definitely applies to a lot of different kids.
It's great. Awesome.
Such a great description.
Yeah.
You are so well-spoken. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Let's pivot, Katie. I mean, this is, you may not mention this, but you were recently awarded a pretty significant award, right?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, yeah, I'm Kaylee Powell, and I teach the agricultural education as well as the forestry natural resource program, and also advisor to Roseburg FFA. But yeah, thank you, Jared. I was recently awarded the 2026 ACT, which is the Association for Career and Technical Education, and I was bestowed the honor of being the new Teacher of the Year for 2026. So was blessed with that award just a few weeks back ago at their state conference. And so that was awesome.
It's amazing.
That's an incredible achievement. Yeah. So you just got back from Seaside, right?
Yeah. Seaside was where the conference was held. And I think the biggest honor of that is knowing myself within this degree path. I come out of industry. And so I did not go to school to be an educator. And I spent many years of my career as a wildlife biologist, kind of stumbled on the job of being the agricultural educator at Roseburg High School. And so coming out of industry, I think, brought a fresh perspective into the program. And I'm now going on, this is year five for me. And so it's great to see the program grow with the ag education program, almost doubling its student numbers. And not to mention the FFA program that's growing. And obviously we're producing some pretty awesome students that are going out into our community and doing some pretty awesome things. So yeah,
very cool.
I'm definitely prideful of the Roseburg High School program, as well as the Roseburg FFA chapter that's facilitated as an intracurricular part of ag ed. So
I am curious, how many people did you meet at the state or at the awards who were in the same field as you with CTE that came from industry as well?
So I know there's quite a few. Like I got to interview and interact with a lot of people in Seaside, and I know there a lot of CTE educators across the state are coming out of industry. And so I think it's great to have a balance of those industry professionals as well as individuals that are going through education cohorts, because there's just different levels of experiences that are being brought into the classroom and shared with the kids. I know that at least for ag education, because we have our own association, so Ag Educators of Oregon, and many of the ag educators across the state are actually out of industry. And so it's especially more and more in these recent years. So it's great to share that perspective, because I think when I came into the career, I was very taken aback of like, oh, I just feel so unprepared. I don't know classroom management skills. I don't know, how to facilitate a classroom. And getting to work with fellow educators and CTE that come out of industry, we can kind of share the same common ground and share strategies with each other. And I think that's what I love about Roseburg Public Schools is many of our CTE instructors are out of industry. And so they're bringing some awesome perspective to our kids and bringing with them some professional connections that they've made through industry too.
Yeah.
So,
and real quick, Kaylee, so 5 years. And when you started, how many students did we have in our FFA program?
I would say I think it's important to remember that FFA is an intracurricular part of ag education. And luckily, we live in a state where all ag ed students are have their dues paid for them by the state to become FFA members. And so technically, every ag ed student has the opportunity to be an FFA member. It's just whether or not they choose to be active within the program. But when I took over the program back in 2021, I was teaching only about 90 students in ag education, whereas now we're serving nearly 200 students throughout the year in ag education. So full-time ag ed with 7 different ag ed courses that we offer to students.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's Jerry Carson.
Jerry, yeah.
Hospitality and health sciences.
And I would say one of the things that I'm most proud of is the support from the district to bring back our nurse assistant program and to expand upon that with three more programs, the phlebotomy, the EMT, and the elementary fire science. And we're just getting ready to announce who our next group is for those four programs for next year. So
awesome.
We're working on that right now.
Yeah.
Very exciting. So you are also an award winner. You were ACT teacher as well as regional teacher of the year. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
These were so huge. Yeah. Incredible. Like, yes. So, wow. Yeah. But Sherry's doing an incredible thing. She is the brains of the CTE operation, just in case anybody was wondering. Yes.
Well, and I would say that I also have, I came from industry, but I also have my teaching degree. So I did go through a formal teaching program, but I grew up in construction and even co-owned a business with my brother for 10 years as part of that. So I have that side to help the instructors that we have in our department, because I tend to be the mentor for them, because you have to be a career technical educator.
We call her our fearless leader.
It's appropriate. What was the business, if you don't?
It was Carson Paving, and then it was Carson Paving and Sealing when my brother and I co-owned it.
There you go. That's good to know. I did not know that.
It's great.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
Hey. So I'm Steve Patterson. I'm the business program teacher at the high school. And I agree that Sherry is the brains of our department, for sure. We should bubble wrap her and make sure that nothing happens to her. But I also come out of industry. I've spent, I shouldn't say how many years probably, because that'll date me, but I spent a number of years in sales and marketing, most recently here as a chief marketing officer for Atria Health Plans. And in that time, I got to spend some time actually with you on the board of directors for education. So that really kind of gave me a glimpse into education on a different level. And I really found an interest in coming into that side of industry and made a career change to do so. But I am also the advisor of FBLA, which is the Future Business Leaders of America at the high school. So I get to be lucky enough to do some really good things with some really great kids. And we're getting ready, actually, we have a couple of students that have qualified for nationals in our on our side, and we're getting ready to go to San Antonio here at the end of June for a week and compete at that national event. So very proud of them. Very good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Appreciate that. Dave?
Yeah, well, David Vickery, I'm the principal of the very proud principal of Roseburg High School. And I think the viewers right now realize that my job is riding coattails from the greatness that's surrounding me. But some people might know or not know that I also came from industry. Education was not my first career. I was in surveying and engineering before, and then went into the engineering field or the school and education, which connects me back to all the things CTE, and I think the love that I had for doing that, and then the love I have for it now, watching our students go through. And you know, and you started the questions with like, what are you the most excited about? I think if you're a high school principal right now, and you are excited about the event of graduation, that you are excited about the things that these young people are about ready to jump into. And I think you're hearing today that it's going to be awesome. And I'm super proud. You know, it's a very proud moment for me, for everybody walking across that stage and accomplishing such great feats. And so I think that's the special thing about being a principal, but that's what I'm most excited about right now.
Yeah, I love that. No, it's great to hear and to be reminded that our kids are competing at national level and state level. I often say our kids can compete with anybody in the state. Let's go. Anybody in the country, let's go. We see this academically, and I put our kids up against anybody. Our kids are fantastic. And they're blessed to have amazing educators around them. And so the ecosystem being created is really great. Let me ask this question. I actually had a conversation with someone last week about this who was asking about vocational ed. So there's these terms that get thrown around. We talk about career pathways. We talk about vocational education, CTE, or career technical education. So let me maybe ask our professionals in the room here, when people in the community hear these words about career technical education, vocational education, career pathways, what do you hope that they understand about what that means for students and for our community?
I think it's important to note that vocational education is really the first stepping stone for applied practices for students, like dating back to the early, 1920s, at the emergence of vocational education, especially with different pieces of legislation that were allowing students to come in. And I know it really related to ag education because back in the early 1920s, only a very small portion of students were involved in higher education. Secondary education was a very low populace because most kids were out farming and ranching. That's what they had to do for their family. And so the Smith-Hughes Act, actually, which is what sparked vocational education, which allowed students to apply practice in secondary education of agricultural practices, fine motors, carpentry, early welding, lots of small engine management. And you see a huge uptick of students coming into vocational education to learn pride practice. And, many years now later, almost a century, we've developed into career and technical education because it's expanded so much more. But allowing students to gain hands-on practical skills that are going to apply to any career path that they're choosing, hence the term of the career pathways. We're really trying to scaffold students into careers, and regardless of the program that they come out of, they're gaining these amazing hard and soft skills that are going to benefit them within any career choice, hence the career and technical education. And I think bringing in the technical piece is we're in a modern era where tech is a big part of our society. And even things like artificial intelligence that are going to be really scaffolding the immersion of different career paths. And so I think, some people are familiar with it as vocational education, more recently in career and technical education, but it's really all the same. It's just how do we see this in a different light and share with our community that regardless of what we know the term to be, that we're still prioritizing the student experience to make them successful, valuable members of our society.
Yeah, it's so important for these students to have this experience before they get into the real world. They understand what it's going to be like and what to expect. It's so valuable. But there is also a lot of value for students who are not looking at it like a career. How would you describe the value for those students who may just be following an interest and maybe not going down the career pathway route?
I would just say that the skills that they learn are beneficial to life. I mean, we have culinary where they could go on to be a chef or whatever, but everyone has to eat. So they need to know how to cook for themselves.
Yes.
We have the health sciences and we have certifications and things like that that kids can get and go straight into industry or go on to post-secondary and get even higher certifications. But everybody needs to know how to take care of themselves and that in a basic manner too. So they're learning all types of pieces of health sciences in that, which carries over into their normal life too. And I would say that with all of our programs. Business, people need to know how to manage their budgets and things like that just in everyday life. Agriculture, same way. Some need to know how to grow their own food because maybe they're going to live where there's not a store close by. So they have to grow it and be able to do that. Be able to fix something that breaks, whether it be welding or woods or their cars, even in automotive. And then early childhood education, most people have kids, so they need to know how to work with their kids growing up in the developmental stages and that. And then if they choose to go on in education, then they've got that basic foundation of how kids learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest part of the CTE program is that kids gain confidence and they get to go down, just like the title is, they get to go down different pathways and kind of experiment with hands-on activities rather than just theory. And I think it gives them a chance to get an education in what they want to do. For some kids, it is a traditional, you know, two and then to UCC and then maybe an extended bachelor's degree or even further. But certainly, I think all pathways lead to success. So, and that's the key, is that there's a pathway that goes into healthcare. There's a pathway that goes into welding. There's a pathway that, and they can experience all this at a high school level, kind of building a foundation and building soft skills and building transferable skills that even if they choose not to go on, that they've still got that foundation and they're able to present themselves in, you know, in a very professional way, no matter what industry they go to.
You got to remember, every single one of our kids are going pro in something.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they just are. And I think that depending on their experiences and things that they're doing, I mean, veterinarian or whatever, they're all going pro in something. And being able to experience these things, not just gaining skills to what that next step may be, but just, you never know. I mean, you never know when you may need to run a bead on a weld on a piece of property that you had no business buying, right? And so, or you know, trying to grow tomatoes or something. So along with providing for your family, you know, through your, you know, employment and things like that, it just gives you options and gets you experience.
Yeah, yes, so many options and so many opportunities. It really is incredible. And on that note, we are actually going to go into a quick break. But before we do, RHS leadership students want to tell us a little bit about more opportunities that Roseburg High School offers. So let's hear more about that.
Hi, everyone. My name is Elizabeth Hires, a representative of the leadership class here at RHS. Today, I'm accompanied by my classmates, Tate Anderson and Juniper Crocker. We have recently been invited to showcase how RHS encourages opportunities within our student body and community. We will first begin our tour by stopping by the Career Center at RHS. The Career Center is located near the entrance of the school, making it an accessible place for students to check in on career opportunities ranging from college to the military and more. It is a great way to inspire opportunities for students that happen beyond our school. The Career Center helps students to explore their plans for the future beyond high school. Mrs. Hines, one of our leaders here at the Career Center, states she can help students get guidance on colleges, vocational programs, and career paths, as well as support with applications, scholarships, resumes, and interview preparation. Additionally, the Career Center provides opportunities by connecting students with local employers, internships, and community programs so they can gain real-world experience. The Career Center also hosts outreach events such as our college fairs and scholarship nights. Through these events, the school is able to help connect students to opportunities right on campus. Up next, Tate will now walk you through our elective and sports opportunities on campus.
Hi, my name is Tate Anderson, and I will be showing you all of the electives at RHS and how they expand opportunities for the student body. Every fall and every spring, the theater program performs one play and one musical, which anyone can audition for. What are some ways students can get involved in theater beyond acting?
Oh, beyond acting, there's a ton of stuff. So we have a tech theater class that looks at theater from the perspective of directing, set design, lighting design, sound design, and then also construction. So even if you don't want to be on stage, there are still plenty of opportunities to be able to get involved backstage.
Mrs. Powell in FFA, a few questions about how she expands opportunities on our campus. I'm going to start with, how can RHS students get involved in FFA?
The FFA, formerly known as the Future Farmers of America, is an intracurricular organization for agricultural science students. So any students that are taking ag education or forestry natural resources has the opportunity to join the FFA and become part of the organization. It's really up to students to like choose how they want to get involved. We have chapter meetings where students can get to know our upcoming business and activities. We have lots of career development events and opportunities that students can get involved in. But like really the big stepping stone is getting enrolled in an ag ed course. And then from there, you'll learn a lot more ways to like get involved in the actual organization.
Hi guys, we're here with Bailey Wilcox today, and she's going to be representing the Key Club. So my first question for her is, how do students get involved in Key Club on campus?
Every other Thursday morning, we have meetings at 7:15 in Mr. Buster's room up on Commons, and you're welcome to come and learn about volunteer opportunities, and sometimes we have snacks.
That's awesome. And how do you guys expand opportunities for those students?
Well, we have our parent club that often brings volunteer opportunities, and you'll get to meet people in the community and help others, and it's super fun.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Bailey.
Thank you all for joining us on our tour of RHS.
We hope you enjoyed getting to know some of the many opportunities here on campus.
If you are a student or a parent of a student on campus, be sure to reach out for more information on furthering opportunities.
Thank you, Kate.
This is Your Q, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Okay, welcome back to Your Q. Great video. In fact, a producer of that video is in studio today, Juniper. Thank you for putting that together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had a couple of my leadership kids. Someone came in view and they're like, hey, we want to know how you guys expand our opportunities on campus. And we thought it would be a great opportunity to kind of shout out our clubs and extracurriculars. So Tate and Elizabeth really helped in that. So
yeah, so many great things happen at the high school and CT. We've talked about clubs before. There's lots of ways to get involved at the high school.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that we do with clubs is, you know, if there's not something for you at the high school, like if you come to the high school and there's not something for you, let us know and we'll create it, right? We'll find a way to create it. That's, I mean, we're adding clubs every year. They come through the admin team, and I bet we get 3 or 4 new clubs a year. And I mean, just a few years ago, pickleball came through, and now look at it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's trendsetter. It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That's great.
So you guys do a lot of business, even in these programs that are not business and marketing, there's still a lot of business happening, right? Because, I mean, that is real world experience. And so the FFA, you guys just did the plant sale for Mother's Day weekend. And then you also have an FFA banquet auction that you run. So tell us a little bit about how those experiences how those are valuable for the students and your program, and then also how you distribute the funding that you get from those.
Perfect. I'll start with the plant sale because it was just so recent. It was just this last weekend for Mother's Day. And this is an agribusiness, and it's purely run by the students. They're cultivating and producing everything that's in that greenhouse. We're really fortunate to have a really large greenhouse on campus, about a 30 by 50 greenhouse, which allows us a lot of opportunity for learning space too. We have to think of it as an extension of the classroom because we do a lot of learning out there as far as plant husbandry and business. And so our students produced over 200 flower hanging baskets and probably over 1500 vegetable starts. And we had a really successful sale. We sold 170 baskets just within the first couple hours of our sale on Friday. And we pretty much sold out and had to close the sale early on Saturday. So our business is definitely continuing to grow, but it's awesome because the kids are so prideful in their work. Like, they're the ones that are producing everything in there and they're helping with the sale. And it's, for me, I felt so much joy seeing that product, but also the kids are super excited because they're getting to see their hard work pay off. And it was so wonderful hearing a lot of compliments from community members that were coming to me personally and saying, your kids are so helpful. They're great at customer service skills. It's great to see the compliments that are thrown on our kids as showing their hard work pay off. The funds from that sale just go back directly into our program funds for the agricultural science program in the Roseburg FFA. And then I think Juniper can talk about our auction fundraiser that we usually host in March.
Yeah, that helped a lot. We brought in a bunch of people for businesses who got sponsored with baskets. And one of my businesses being one of them, where I gave a coupon because I run a dog daycare business. And so that, like, it's just bringing those local businesses and telling them what, like, that's another way that we're expanding, like, that, I mean, kind of loosening the connection and, like, putting them together, our community and school, because All those local businesses now know that Roseburg FFA is a place where they can get their name out there through those that auction. And we raised a lot of money through that this year, which I'm also really excited about. And it's just a great way for us to get to know. I know the county commissioner, I think it was, that came.
Three of them.
Yeah, they were there, and it was super cool to to get to know people like that through an FFA event. So yeah,
everything that's in that auction is literally brought in by the kids. They're the ones having to approach businesses to look for donations as hopefully tangible items that are we can sell. And we bring in the partnership of our alumni and supporters chapter. And yeah, this last year we broke records with about $42,000. Wow. Not again, that goes to support our program and our kids, and we definitely need it now that we're going back to national athletes. Yeah, we try to offset pretty much the entire cost for students for flights and transportation and meals while we're in Indianapolis.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's really building community, right? And this is a really good example of how these programs pull community together. Like these, oftentimes these intergenerational opportunities, right? Where oftentimes our more experienced residents don't oftentimes get to mingle with our younger kids. What a great example of how to build community with that. And that's not the only business being run at the high school either. I'm going to talk about some other businesses happening within CTE as well.
So, I oversee two different ones, and they also help my FCCLA group with funding for state and national conferences. And I also oversee HOSA. And so some of those kids are also in my culinary program. So they help raise money for their state conference and stuff also through that. But we have a catering business that was actually started, and I just continued it when I took over at Roseburg. And we do a lot of events for the school district and the high school events. And then we have a partnership with the fairgrounds. And so we help them a lot with their big banquets. Christmas fair time, we take over one of their kitchens and work all 3 days of the event. Selling out of usually the new kitchen, the conference hall kitchen. And then on campus, we have a coffee shop that the FCCLA kids help run. And we partner with the transition program, which is for our SPED students who are 18 and older, they've already done a lot of their educational pieces, but they're out there to finish up and get more life skills and that sort of thing. And so we bring them in to help get skills of working with the public and making change and things like that also.
Yeah, it was this theme of like, you know, real hands-on learning, right? I am curious about, Kaylee, I think it was you that mentioned the student experience. We've got a student here, first year, so I'd be really curious to hear from you as well. And Dave as well, you've got lots of students that you help shepherd as well. Can you talk about a time in which you saw and realized a student had found a passion? Like you saw that moment, that spark, and maybe what that did in the trajectory of a student. Maybe you have you've seen that, and maybe explain maybe what that looks like. You know, we do have students that these experiences are not always the traditional classroom experience, right? And so our CT classes oftentimes don't have rows. They're much more circles, and they're much more spaces of like lots of things were happening. But can you talk about a time which you've noticed or just realized or had that joyful experience of seeing like just that click with a student, that passion, they found something that they're really excited about, and maybe how that shifted your view of how they approached learning?
I would say, I mean, I see it all the time. So, but one actually just today, I had a guest speaker with Intro Science come in, and was a physician assistant, and she went through and did her entire spill, and then asked what the kids were interested in healthcare, and the one kid got a big smile on his face and raised his hand and said, "That's exactly what I want to do," and then just started asking question after question on what would be the best program and that to enter after I leave here to be able to get that. And so that was good. a couple weeks ago, I just did some first aid CPR classes for our middle schoolers. They came up after school 2 days to knock that out. And they, at first, were kind of hesitant. They didn't know what to expect. And we went in, we did all the skills. And they were just so excited that they can't wait to get to the high school where they can enter into the healthcare path because they feel like they've accomplished something. I do the first aid CPR classes and the basic life support. And just, I had a girl get her first aid CPR card, and she went home and told her parents, well, I'm one step closer to my nursing dream and that sort of thing. So I see it all the time. Culinary is the same way. When we're doing different things or they're creating something and it turns out great, then they're like, I'm on my way. I wanted to open my own bakery and now I think I'm on my way to do that. So
that must be so amazing to witness in the students. That's incredible.
It's interesting talking about, you know, CTE and with AI and the value of these programs and how that, you know, translates into this world that these kids are going into. Do you guys have anything to say on?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, veterinary science, that's one of the things where a dog can't trust a robot, you know, like, you're going to have to need a human to do that. Like, a lot of those things, I know a lot of them are probably more of, like, working with the pathologies and everything with AI, but I think, yeah, I think a lot of these, like, medical and business, like, those are definitely human, logical things that we need to keep in here and make sure that we're, like, continuing this education for that.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot talked about with AI, but in some ways, I mean, we've got to continue Kaylee's point about his career technical education, stay on the front side of that. But the truth is that the impact of AI is going to impact disproportionately a lot of these career pathways. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not sure how much AI is going to help with welding, right. Automotive, and animal husbandry.
There are a lot of practical skills that you're never getting rid of. When we think of construction and carpentry and fabrication, of course, there's efficiencies that are being developed through technology, but ultimately, like, yeah, you don't get rid of the interpersonal skills that when it comes to different relationships. But there's certain industries where we may need to be more reliant on advances in technology. Like in agriculture, the world population is continuing to grow and we're utilizing more space. Therefore, we have to be more innovative in how we're producing food and natural resources to sustain the world population. And so I really embrace that with my kids that, you know, the ag education program is not about producing farmers and ranchers. It's about producing competent consumers and knowing that each one of us is heavily reliant on food, fiber, and natural resources. And how can we have a main focus on sustainable agriculture, especially with the modern evolution of where man and the world is going? And technology is helping us in a lot of ways. But at the same time, there's just certain things that is never going to replace the human interaction.
Yeah.
And I really think that, you know, going back to AI, that it's really going to be more of a tool that we use, mm-hmm. and it'll be these students who are going to learn how to, you know, get the best out of that. It's not necessarily something that's going to replace anything necessarily. It'll just look different, and there'll be some smart people that are making it enhanced. So
yeah, I think with Jessen Wang, OSU grad,
oh yeah,
and video, am I right?
Yeah, aren't they building a laboratory right now or a research center at OSU?
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exciting. I think he said somewhat recently something to the effect of the next generation of millionaires will be people in the trades. Yes, they think that's coming from AI. Actually, kind of interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's neat to see our students leaning in to this. It's great.
Well, and I think that was when we went to see Kaylee get her award, that was one of the things that was brought out that we're already doing a lot of AI stuff in our career technology education that people don't relate that as AI and that, but we're already doing that. We're just expanding on it and we need the students to be able to do that. Yeah. So,
yeah. So let's, in the time remaining here, I do have, we do a segment here. This is called Your Cue. And we do a segment where it's a little bit of play on words, right? That we like to have our guests have a cue for our audience. And so it's like the cue being like, what's something they could think about this week, tomorrow, today, relative to the conversation today? So I want to open it up to our group. Say if something kind of percolated to the top here, or if you've been thinking about this, what would something you can share with the community relative to these career pathways, our students, our educators, our schools, what's happening there? Something you could share to our with our community about their cue for the week.
Well, I hope the community can see, you know, what type of talent that we have locally in our kids. And our kids are beacons of light for us. They are, you know, they a lot of times coming from industry, people wonder if you're doing okay as a teacher. Are you, you know, is it okay? What are the kids like? You know, and the kids are great. And we are in good hands. So if I would take anything away from that, it's that. Appreciate that.
And I would say to take advantage of the opportunities where they can come into the school and see facilities and see the accomplishments of some of the kids. We have lots of opportunities to do that. We have Pride Night. We have the egg auction. We have the penning ceremony for our healthcare that you could see the kids actually getting their graduation cords and hearing what's been said about them by some of the industry professionals that they were with.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about right now is you know, us being Roseburg grads, some of us a little bit longer, and I spent a lot of time at what the building used to be called the VoTech, right? I spent a lot of time there. And I would want the audience to know that this is not the VoTech, the CTE of 30 years ago, right? These are high-tech things that are going on and skills that are being learned at all different levels. That the kids are coming out with stuff that I wouldn't have learned for 2 years into community college that they're coming out ready to do. Like, give them jobs while they're going to school. They're awesome. Like, you see one right here, right? And so that's, I would want the community to know that.
Yeah, love that. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'd say mine would be just making sure that you get involved while you can. And like, there it is never too late to get involved, which is something that, like, I really try to tell myself over and over again. As someone who, I moved schools from Sutherland High School to Roseburg High School from my sophomore year to my junior year. So I did not know almost anyone at Roseburg High School, which is how FFA kind of came into my life as more of a community and a family that I like was really able to resonate with and kind of find my people in a vulnerable time for me. So I think it's really important that anyone, it can be an adult or a child, a student at Roseburg High School, but just making sure that you find what you love and like make sure that you realize that it's never too late to do that. So
that's such great advice. And I know you're not here to promote your business, but I'm super excited that you have a business. Yeah. And I'd love to hear more about that. And are you looking for customers?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I run a dog daycare business. I've been doing that for about 7 years now. It started when I was 10. And I'm working more house sitting and dog walking right now. So I'm always looking for new clients as I'm getting into the summer here. So really hoping to stay busy with that. And I'm actually thinking of doing entrepreneurship in the future as well, coming back to Roseburg once I get my DVM at Oregon State. And really bringing an emergency veterinary side to affordable healthcare here for those animals. And yeah, so I really want to make sure that I'm just keeping that entrepreneurship like going throughout my college so I can really keep that experience. So.
You are rocking it.
Yeah.
So where would someone go if they needed those services?
I have a Google profile. My business is called Paws Doggy Daycare. So yeah, we're located in Oakland, Oregon, but I don't use my property anymore. I used to, but now I'm doing just house sitting and dog walking. So
even pigs and chickens.
Absolutely. I've done farm sitting. That's another good thing about agriculture. They teach you a lot and all kinds of animals. So
good to shout out on good to shout out to the community. Yeah. Supporting these businesses. Keely?
I think
the biggest thing is knowing that CTE educators, I kind of think I'm like, we're a whole nother breed. we definitely do it out of passion and heart, because CTE, regardless of the program, there's a lot of hours that go into what we do. And it's purely about the opportunities that we're providing for students. And I think that my predecessor termed it really well, that she said, you're never going to find a more challenging job, but you're also never going to find a more rewarding job. And that is so true, because the heart and passion of what I do, and I know what a lot of our program educators do, is we find pride and passion in the accomplishment of our kids. And kind of going back to, like, you know, what is that aha moment? It's seeing the growth in these kids, and like seeing kids that come into our program that are very shy, very reserved, and by the time they leave us, that are confident in getting up in front of a group or leading a discussion or being a confident leader, like, that's the goal. And I think it's important to know our community, that we are pouring into these kids because we know the experiences they're getting out of our programs. We're building them up to be successful individuals going into whatever path that is, whether it's to college or trades or entrepreneurship. Like, we're trying to promote them to be valuable individuals to our society. And we talk about our local community. We want these kids to return. We want them to have a great experience here, so that way they too want to pour back into the community like we pour into them. And so that's an epitome of what I want to do as an educator, is to make an impact. Like, I'm not in there to make farmers and ranchers. I'm there to make valuable kids to our society and create any opportunity I can for them. So yeah, that's a big thing, I think, is acknowledging that Roseburg High School is doing a fantastic job in CTE of providing valuable opportunities for our students. And much of it is there to create passion, to create interest, and to help build them up to their personal pathway, regardless of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's showing in the graduation rates too, right? Like, that passion. So what is the number?
It's now up to 97%. It's been 95 for several years. The latest one that will be coming out is between 97 and 98%.
So all of the students in CTE programs are...
As long as they've taken 2 credits in a CTE program, that's the graduation rate that we're looking at.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yes. So I think we are coming to the end of the radio portion of this episode. So next week, we are going to be having an episode about summer learning opportunities in Douglas County. This is going to be a really great one. We definitely understand the importance of kids keeping their minds active and busy during the summer. And if you're a parent, you know what we mean. So we have Dr. Jill Weber, our Director of Teaching and Learning, joining us now that we've been approved for summer learning funding. So that's exciting. And so she'll be telling us all about that. We have Kendra Wilson, the operations manager with the Boys and Girls Club. They have a lot of wonderful programs that they are offering young kids there. We have Aurora Rock. She's the youth services librarian at the Douglas County Library. And so she'll be talking about their summer reading program. And so that's a really great resource. And then we will also have a representative from Umpqua Community College talking about their summer learning opportunities. And what's great about that is that it's not just for kids. Although they do have kids' summer learning opportunities, they also have adult ones as well. So whether you're age 1 or 100, there is something for you to learn. And then we will, of course, have a student guest joining us as well, who will add a lot of value to the conversation too. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. And yeah, we will see you next week.
Join us Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Or watch online on the Roseburg School's YouTube channel and the YourQ Facebook page. This show is built with our community, for our community. If you have an idea for a conversation that celebrates, uplifts, or educates Douglas County, or know someone we should feature, we'd love to connect. Reach out at yourq@roseburg.k12.or.us or message us on Facebook.